It's Saturday night. This is Pastor John. I just have to dispense of the music and everything. I've been trying for 2 days to do this webcast, and I haven't been able to put it up because everything is just happening so rapidly. And I guess the latest thing is Whitney Houston dead at 48. They don't know why yet. It's not important why. Or TBN, you've heard about that, right? All right. The granddaughter of the Crouches in a lawsuit with her own grandfather and grandmother, and the scandalous ripping off of millions of dollars. You know, it's like I'm to the point, and this is going to be a very short webcast. It's to the point where the only thing that I want to do, I don't even want to talk about Christianity. I don't even want to talk about that. I know the Bible says it. I'm turning off the computers and everything here in the office. I'm systematically shutting it down. I couldn't bring myself to do another decent webcast. All I want to do is just, I'm so depressed. I just want to lie down and go to sleep and not wake up again. It's so depressing. You know, one of the things that somebody was saying to me, I was in a men's clothing store that I frequent. James Brumsfield, he makes some of the nicest African-American men clothing. And he knows that I'm a pastor. I told him not to say that out loud in his store because I don't want people viewing me, looking at me. And I don't like the way they look at pastors. I want to be so far removed away from that title these days. He was asking me how could those people even think about a king, you know. And I was saying, Brother James, that's a no-brainer. Just an absolute no-brainer. Yeah, it's real quiet in the studio, so quiet you can hear my computer fan. I know what I'll do. I'll do what I always do. You have your Bibles, right? Let's leave all the news stories and everything alone. Let's get our Bibles, okay? Let's get our Bibles. And I want you to go to the 34th Psalm. That's right. I want you to go to Psalm 34. Start with verse 1. This is how I survive, and I think I'll do this. This will be the webcast that I'll share with you on Saturday. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I'm not going to, you know, I even got a phone call from a guy that used to be in the church with me at the vet, and he mentioned, I guess that's a little bit of where my depression came in, 4 or 5 people at that church that have died. Every time I get a phone call from this man, he gives me 4 or 5 others that have died. And then he gave me the information of a minister that I know that married after his wife died. And now he's trying to divorce that woman, and she's trying to take everything he's worked for. I said to the guy that told me that, he must have married one of these church wenches. That's what I call them. I try to tell men all the time. I think the only reason that I have anything, that I'm able to have any kind of life, is because I haven't thrown my life away and married some woman talking about, I love the Lord Jesus. Yeah, right. So that adds to my depression when I think about the way it should have been and think about the way it is. This friend of mine even told me, see, I'm starting to ramble, so it'll be a pretty good webcast. He even told me about, God help us, a guy that was married to one of the nicest women in the church that I pastored. She was the sweetest little girl. I know because I taught her in Sunday school when she was 9 or 10 years old. Sweet girl. He told me about the man that married her, divorced her, stood up, told everybody in the church he was in, I never loved her. And then had some asinine preacher that I ordained remarried him to somebody else to add injury to insult. These godless, senseless, mindless individuals. I also went to see my grandchildren perform something Black History Month at an after school event on the weekend. And as I walked in there, there was a lady. She could barely talk. She was trying to get me to sign a petition to stop the death penalty in the state of California. And I'll get back to Psalm 34. I'm just letting you know what my day was like. And I looked at this woman and I said, you know what? I can't honestly say. Well, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I grew up in the heart of Watts. I've seen the result of people that kill people, ruin other people's lives. And I said, I can't see in me anywhere for me to sign a petition when someone needs to die for killing another person. And I use Tookie Williams, the leader of the Crips, I think he was. And I said, it would be ludicrous for anyone to let the state take care of someone like that for the rest of their lives when they should be killed immediately. And she said, but some innocent people die. And I said, I understand the errors that bureaucrats make. But with the smaller number of the innocent that's dying against the guilty that needs to die, I cannot sign that petition. She just walked away from me. I guess it was an African-American event, so she was white and she was there, and she thought, well, I'll get one of these liberals. Don't come to me. I know all the hubbub is going to be about Whitney Houston. What did she die of? Who cares? Who cares? What I did is I went on the computer and I listened to the number, Saving All My Love for You. That's the only thing that I remember about the song, is I'm saving all my love for you, because I've never listened to it until today. And I said to myself, wait a minute, this is a record that is talking about a woman taking a married man from his wife. And she's saying, you can come by my house and screw me all night long. And I know you married. And she even made a video to that same thing. That's the first time I ever heard the song in my life. Because in 1986, I didn't listen to secular music the way I listen to it now. I said, oh my God, she got the best song of the year in the Grammy Awards for speaking about screwing somebody for adultery. Now, we all know that Whitney came up in the church singing in a choir, right? We know that, right?
Oh, but I still love her anyhow.
Yeah, I bet you love that song, don't you? I love her too. I love everybody. Verse 5 of Psalm 34 says, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. Are you ashamed of that song? Verse 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. He could have saved Whitney if she cried to him. He could save you or I if I cried to him. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Do you fear God? Did those four people that my friend told me that died in the church that I pastored, did they fear God? Found one of them dead. I remember the man. His sister hadn't heard from him in a while, had the landlord opened up, found him dead. To die alone. Like that. I don't know. They may find me dead. I hope they find me dead in the studio. Just fall over all this stuff. Just fall out. Give up the ghost. Wonderful. Now, right after it talks about the angel of God encamping around about those who fear him, people like me, because I fear God, and this angel rescues me, then the psalmist says in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. When you're taking refuge in drugs, in people, in sex, in fame, in the frivolity of foolishness, there is no angel of no Lord encamping round about you, protecting you and me in that case. From nothing. I had a number on a CD that one of my college students gave me last semester. He made this little album. It's called the Black Tapes, BLACTAPES, the Black Tapes. He uses certain beats of other songs, but he had one on here that I found quite interesting that I hope to play before this webcast is over. I'm trying to get up enough gumption. There's no swear words in this one, but it's kind of graphic, and I think it gives you a very clear description of where our young people are, and especially when they have children and what the children have become. I believe that since we have consciously, with tremendous vibrato, kicked God to the curb, or another disgusting video that I think this was all over Facebook, this Kirk Franklin thing when he's supposed to be. You guys know where he got that style of talking to youngsters from? He got it from Ken Ulmer. Ken Ulmer teaches all of his male proteges to teach like that. They walk around speaking hyperbole, really speaking out of their behind. That's what it is. That's why none of it sounds rational at all. It is just the filthiness of where his filthy, gutter-driven mind is. And Kenneth Ulmer, I have to be ashamed of spawning this animal and putting it out on what's left of the black church, if you can call it that. And I'm a black man, don't get it twisted. Nor do I fear you. You can call down demons on me. I've had my share of those coming my way. That doesn't frighten me, because I'd rather be dead than to have to deal with this thing called a church. You watch what they're going to do to this Whitney woman's funeral. They're going to have her singing the angelic songs. I'd like somebody to tell me what that saving all my love for you is all about and justify it in a church service. I just listened to this song for the first time. Let me go back to the first part of the verse here, and I want to run it down to you a little bit. God is good to his people, I guess, verses 1 through 10. That's what this is all about. This whole chapter, especially these verses, are just gigantically loaded with David's praise for God. And David called the people to praise the Lord with him. That's why he says, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. And the humble people will hear it and rejoice. The haughty is not going to hear this. Haughty people won't hear me. Oh, John, you need to get a life. Yeah, I was speaking with a friend of mine that told me about a preacher friend of mine I grew up with. I knew his wife. I recall when his wife died. She was a fine woman. Gave him a brood full of kids. Now here he's going through divorce proceedings, this preacher, and first question that I ask is, why in the heck did he remarry? Why would a man my age remarry? This makes no sense. None at all. Well, everybody get lonely. I was lonely today, let me tell you. Mario had left for work. I'm sitting at the table, at the counter. Made a little coffee. Drinking a cup of coffee. Thinking about when I would do the webcast, because right now it's about 7:15 in the evening, Saturday evening. I had a very busy day. And I'm sitting at the counter, and it just hit me, this whole loneliness just hit me. And I began to speak out loud, Lord, I'm lonely now. I need somebody up in here holding me. I really need that now. I want that. I told the Lord, you know who I am, what I am, because you knitted everything in me. And then I asked him, I said, I need you, Jesus, to come and take away my loneliness. And I said, as only you can do it, because you can love me the way no one can. You know, as a matter of fact, he can love me better than Lucy loved me. See, and if you got filth on your mind, that just shows you where your mind is in the gutter. You ain't never been loved by him. Because if you have ever been loved by our Lord, you would know why the psalmist says, my soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear it and rejoice. So God continually does that so that those of us that might be afflicted later on in life may rejoice that they can have comfort. And I had mine this morning. But here he called for all the people to exalt the Lord with him. This is what he wanted them to do. Exalt his name together. This is very important. You know, a lot of people may say, well, this is why we come to church to worship. No, no, no. Most of you are going to church because you got to pay that building off. Or it is some kind of form of communication that you think you have in with God, and you really not. Because see, you're going to go to church tomorrow and the preacher's going to have his sermon on Whitney Houston. You know how she grew up in the church, how she sung in the choir and how she was a great singer and God used it. God had her sing that song about adultery that I just heard for the first time, Saving All My Love for You. God spawned that? Is that right? God did that. But yet your preacher gonna be talking about that. Wow, you see where Pastor John's depression comes from? You feel that? Did you hear that sigh? That's why I've been late getting this stuff up. It's taking its toll on me. Now, of course, I can get me a glass of wine and sip on it and just go, ha, 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 laugh it off like it's nothing, right? Wrong. Because I know that there's going to be a tremendous portion of you, if you haven't already shed a bucket full of tears for this woman. I wonder if Bobby, her ex, is sharing his tears. See, I try to tell these women, be careful. The dude you get with. I got 20 hours of marriage counseling things on my marriage counseling page. How many of you listened to 15 minutes? And how many of you wish you could have got with Bobby? And those of you that do drugs on a regular basis and abuse them now. Because some of us have to take drugs either by prescription or for medicinal purposes. And I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you just got you a stash so you can smoke until you look like a chimney. Mark this death. I don't know what she died of. I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I thought that I put it out there. I don't know what she died of, but I know one thing. Half of it was a broken heart. Unfulfilled. And you know, we as Christians are supposed to get our fulfillment from Christ. And you know, Etta James died, right? At last what? And when they make a life story about that woman, how many of you church folk gonna be running to the theaters to see this film? Jay-Z's woman is supposed to be starring in that, right? At last, Jay-Z. For the first time a couple of days ago, I heard a record by he and Kanye West. And they made, oh my goodness, filthiness, bathed in it. But they both made an oath to Satan for their wealth, so what do you expect? Same thing about his wife. She's a devil worshiper. So what goes around comes around. These are wicked people. And I know that sounds treasonable, but I'm entitled to my opinion. I'm not a devil worshiper, though sometimes I do fall into the want of what he offers me. See, I'm real enough to tell you that. Because he don't offer stuff that doesn't pay. It's just that when it pays, my friend, you have to pay for it with your life. And I hope that none of you out there, listen to me very close, takes the oath that you would do anything to become famous. Because when you do that, ditto, ditto, ditto. Now, verses 4 through 6, David recorded the report of his deliverance. He was delivered because he cried. Oh, I love this. Look at verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him and rescues them." You have to look further down at verse 17 of the same chapter. "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles." See that? Let's continue and look at verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." So you see, if someone is a Christian and they're on, let's say, drugs, you don't have to go to a rehab place. You don't have to go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, anything like that. The Lord will deliver you out of it if you ask him to. But first of all, you have to admit that you have a problem. And what I mean by a problem is that you got to get high every day of your life in order to sustain some kind of happiness. You don't believe me? Ask Michael Jackson. That's what, hey, I just want to sleep. David was convinced that God's people are never put to shame. But that's not true today, because we're living in shame today. David would say, no, God's people are radiant because God hears them. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." In other words, if you cry into him, he gonna hear you, man. Look at verse 17. Stay there. "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles." That's what I did this morning when I was sitting at the food counter. I don't know nothing about that Houston girl, but I know one thing. If she grew up in the black church, all she had to do was cry to him. And if she just died of a heart attack because her heart was weak, then take her on home. But if she died of any kind of foul treatment and everything, it's because she didn't cry to him. Oh, and let me say this. You got to cry to the Lord for yourself. I read this psalm to a Christian male friend of mine who is going through some difficulties right now in his life, and he contacted me today, and he said he really appreciated me reading this psalm to him and telling him how it worked. And after I hung up the phone, I said to myself, why don't you read the Bible to yourself and cheer yourself up? Don't look for Pastor John to do it. I'm not the secret motivator of happy lives. See, that's Rick Warren and the rest of those shenanigans. I don't know what your purpose is. Quiet is kept, don't even care. I know what his purpose is for me, and I'd better do it. Now, that's me dealing with the ontological nature of a God that will repay. And you know what? He repays evil for evil, just the way he repays good for good. He rescues us from all of our trouble. Look at verse 7. Again, I love this 7. He declared that the angel of the Lord, probably the Lord himself. When you look at Genesis 16 and 9, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority.'" See, this is the Lord. So when it talks about this angelic covering, God can do it any way he wants. I love the fact that this is so beautiful. "Around about those that fear the Lord." In military imagery, it envisioned divine protection. In Psalms 32 and 2, it says, "Jacob said when he saw him, 'This is God's camp,' so he named the place Mahanaim." And when you look at 2 Kings 6 and 16, It says, "So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" See, when you're in the Lord's camp, he cares for you. Those who trust in the Lord experience genuine happiness. That's why he says, if you taste and see, all who fear the Lord, that is, all who are genuine worshipers, will lack nothing. Psalm 23 verse 1 tells us that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, there's no want for any good thing. When you look at Psalms 23:1, you see basically the same idea in Psalm 16:2. I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord, I have no good besides you." Do you see that? Besides Christ, there is nothing good. There's nothing else that I want to seek. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Did you notice that? He is going to withhold the good things from those who are not walking uprightly. Do you understand? The ones that are not walking uprightly, he will withhold good things and life and long life. Trust me, I'm 68, is a good thing. That woman was 20 years younger than me. Cut off. And when you think about someone as gifted as that, cut off 20 years. There's no reason why a mother should have to bury her daughter. There just isn't. That seems so impractical unless someone has a disease or something like that. Now, what does God do if we come across and listen to him? Let's continue with this because I think we have to look at verses 11 through 22. And as you build on this outline, if you want to, it says, God blesses the righteous with life. He says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord." This is a wonderful thing. Verses 11 through 22 includes David's instructions to the people on how to achieve a full life in the Lord. This is what we go to church for. This is what we study the Bible for. This is why we have our Bible teachers talk to us and encourage us to live this way. He exhorted them to listen to his instruction concerning the fear of the Lord. Nobody wants to do that these days. The instruction was essentially that of a righteous, peaceful life. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good?" You see what I'm talking about? Here I am, I'm 60. I just made 68 and Houston just clocked out. At 48. Now let's look at this. Who is a man that desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? I try to tell people that all the time. Well, he tells you how to do this in verse 13. "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." What was that record "Saving All Your Love for Me" all about? Oh, I just thought I'd lay that out there. Because that's speaking evil and deceit. But she took that key up high, didn't she? "Saving all my love for you." Yeah, right. You wasn't married to him. The idea that the devil wanted to personify by making a hit record is to bring shame and disgrace to God. into marriage, into relationships. Oh, I'd love to hear how your preacher handles this sermon on Sunday. Oh, I wish I was there. I wish I was there as he joins the mad cavalcade of the Whitney lovers. Going to have probably his wife get up and sing that song and try to put Jesus' word in there. He's saving all his love for us, huh? No, you don't make wrong right like that. I never listened to the song because in 1986, I didn't really know who that woman was. I never watched the Grammys, the Emmys, the Academy Awards, none of that. My wife used to watch it. She used to watch that stuff. She, like everybody else in this country, kept up with that mess. I told her, I said, you need not tell me. I'm not thinking about those people. Those people are in darkness. Oh, John, you don't know how to enjoy anything. Yes, I do. That woman's in darkness. Those people are in darkness. What? See, Lucy married a preacher. I hope she understood that. Loved her to death. But I would not sit down and watch television with her when that mess came on. And I used to tell her, these people's lives are going to end drastically. You take a black person growing up in the inner city, never had anything, and all of a sudden you have all this stuff. I think about these rap stars. What? How many cars they got? 20 cars. They got a warehouse full of cars. The white ones are like the black ones. They all do it. Look at my car. I got this. I got that. I got this. It's so... Don't get me started. See, I was only supposed to speak 5 minutes, and it's almost 20 minutes, and the hour will be up. My goodness. Verses 15 through 21. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Verses 11 through 22 includes David's instruction to the people on how to achieve the full life of the Lord. He exhorted them to listen to his instruction concerning the fear. For those who live righteously in the Lord, several assurances were given. First, the Lord looks favorably on the righteous, a sign of protection in verse 15. But he is against the wicked and will cut off their memory from the living. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Trust me, when those folk die, no one's going to remember Michael Jackson in 100 years. No one. No. No. They're going to say, who? An American pop star. Who? Why, God will see to it. See, if you have a preacher that preaches the Bible, he ought to preach that. He'd empty that room, wouldn't he? Tomorrow morning. Because if I had any kind of a church of any size, that's what we do. We just walk through Psalm 34. And I would call the sermon, "Whose Fool Are You?" And it's not about the wicked casting spells on the righteous, casting spells on a person like me. I only do what God commands me to do and say. If I was speaking my own mind about this, I would say, gosh, I wish I had some of her money. But I'm not going to say that because I don't wish that at all. He would cut off the memory from the living. In verse 16, he talks about that. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory from the earth. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7b. It says, but the name of the wicked will rot. Verse 7 in Proverbs chapter 10 says, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. This is good preaching stuff. Was that song wicked? Yes. Saving all my love for you. That's wicked. Who sung it? Who wrote it? Who pushed it? The name of the wicked will rot. Now, you understand why they want to get rid of Christianity in this country. Because, see, Christianity, when you look at anybody's life, even Pastor John's, me, and you weigh it against this Bible, you're going to find yourself wanting, buddy, wanting in a real horrific way. Second, the Lord hears. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 6 and 15, he hears the prayers of the righteous who are broken in spirit and not arrogant and stubborn. You see that in verses 17 and 18. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. You don't think arrogant people that have a lot of money and a lot of power and all this stuff are crushed in nothing. I just thought I'd run that down to you. Third, the Lord delivers the righteous from his troubles so that not one of his bones is broken. Okay, this is an expression of complete protection from cruel oppression. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. He says he keeps all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. You see, this is a promise that God gives you. And we see this promise in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 46b, where it says, nor are you to break any bone of it. See, God will protect you. That was used by God in referring to the Savior in John chapter 19, verse 36. It says, for these things come to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. So I see the correlation. Then in verse 22, we see the summary of Psalms chapter 34. It says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. That is a great assurance for me. Because I want to serve him. In summary, the psalmist here asserts that the Lord redeems his servants. And you have to look at Psalms 26 and 11 and understand what this redemption of his servants means. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. That's the way the servant of the Lord sounds. I got to walk in my integrity. I was thinking about being lonely and how I'm going to quench that thirst of being alone. Like what he says, no one who trusts in the Lord will be lost. That this verse represents a summation of the reason for praise can be seen by the arrangement of the Hebrew text. This psalm is an acrostic. In other words, each verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order, but one letter in the Hebrew alphabet is omitted. And you can see that between verses 5 and 6, thereby finishing the acrostic with verse 21. The last verse then breaks the sequence and calls attention to itself. And here it is in verse 21 and verse 22. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. Now here comes the acrostic nature of it in verse 22. The Lord redeems the souls of the servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Now, lest you be crying all night over your worldly superstars, instead of thinking about the Christ, chill. The God that the true believer worships is demanding of us so much more than we could ever expect of him. Now, since you have heard this psalm, you are eternally responsible not to ever place your trust in any human being that God has vowed to cut off. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for being patient with me. Many more things are on my mind these days. And as I'm thinking about them, I have but one thing to do, and that is what he commanded me to do. And I apologize for being a few days spinning out. But the older I get, and the more news I hear about the so-called church, it disturbs me, to say the least. It really does. It disturbs me. No, I don't necessarily want it to be the way it was. I know it can't go back to that. I just want release. But I like the way Isaiah the prophet put it, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. And we won't faint. I want to end up, because what went through my mind, pray for what? I'm serious. Pray for what? If a man does not know God to the degree that I've been speaking the past 47 minutes and 20 some odd seconds, and that man chooses to follow the wicked devices of a worldly system that is hostile against the idea or concept of a monotheistic God who is demanding justice out of his creation. Pray for what? This is warfare. There's no question that used to be asked of the church years ago. And it went like this. Excuse me. Who's on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? That's the bottom line. No, stop all this mess. Who is on his side? Enough said. Thank you for coming to my website. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the word. Good night.